AccuWeather forecast, partly cloudy, high today around the mid-40s. Kenosha County murder allegations against a woman who is facing extradition from Seattle and a man charged for giving her a murder weapon, the gun, reads like something out of a novel. 4th of July night, 50-year-old Donna Matthews allegedly snuck into her ex-boyfriend's home near Eichelman Park and shot him to death as he sat in a leather chair, but also hitting him over the head with the butt of the weapon before she fled. One of her brothers, Damon, saying that it related to the victim, Michael Gahan, harassing her to get them back together.
He told my sister if she didn't come back to him, he would burn her family members' houses down because he knew where we lived. He said, don't bother going to the police. Because he has friends on the police.
The DA's office also charging Derek Matthews, Donna's brother, for providing the gun as a party to first-degree intentional homicide. Gahan's decomposed body discovered about a month after he was killed inside his home, an odor and flies grabbing the attention of workers one day. All the hoopla continues about the possibility of the Milwaukee Bucks maybe locating their new developmental league team in Racine. There's word today that lacrosse is no longer being considered by the NBA club, at least Racine and just a few other cities still in the mix.
The D-League team is very new. So the NBA has been doing this, and they've had some out there, but Milwaukee just was given the D-League team out in New York real recently. So this is all new ground. But the good news is they all want to be close to their facilities, and that's why a lot of sports are changing where they put their minor league teams.
Racine Mayor John Dickert on WRJN's Community Conversation this morning, noting the city has an advantage with its close proximity to Milwaukee. Aside from Racine, BizTime says the other cities are Sheboygan, Oshkosh, and Appleton. Amazon has those two big distribution facilities along the interstate in Kenosha County, and now its own cargo planes to expand their delivery network.
A branded Boeing 767 is the first of 40 jetliners as Amazon unveils their own air transportation network as it takes more control of its delivery process. The e-commerce giant is trying to speed the shipment of products as the company delivers an increasing number of packages worldwide. Amazon's parcel volume was estimated at 1 billion packages last year. Analysts say it makes sense for the company to use an air fleet it controls as another way to get its products to online shoppers drawn to fast, no extra cost delivery. I'm Joe Ramsey.
The superintendent of the Waterford Union High School District not giving up on an athletic facilities referendum, possibly for the primary election in February of next year. It was back in April that voters in the district said no to a proposed $12 million plan to revamp the fieldhouse and other athletic amenities. Less than 2 weeks ago, MyRacineCounty.com says Keith Brandstetter presented some early details on a revised referendum package, which would include a six-lane running track and a fitness center. He also put the cost at closer to $12.6 million. Existing debt for the Waterford High School District will be expiring in 3 years, Brandstetter noting taxes toward the schools would not go up if the referendum were approved. An official resolution to proceed would first have to be adopted by the Board of Education before it went before the voters again, and for which Brandstetter indicates he would have public information meetings. The city of Racine going with a broker these days to market the Southside Industrial Park at DeCoven Avenue and South Memorial Drive. That's where Jacobs and Textron once stood, and which was cleaned up years ago with brownfield grant money on redevelopment possibilities. None getting past the point, however, of initial inquiry. City Development Director Amy Connolly told the Redevelopment Authority deal with RFP Commercial only just finalized a month ago, so really not much activity has taken place thus far.
Right now we have had one request to look at it, and we'll continue to respond as quickly as we can to any requests that we get. So I'm really hopeful that, you know, again, by the end of the year, we'll find at least one user or look at different options available to us.
And she said one of those potential options might be creating a spec building, which a lot of communities are doing these days to attract business.
So we're going to look into the economic options and grant options for a community to self-develop an industrial building. That might be an option available to us as well. So we're going to be exploring that in the next couple months.
She said the only inquiry about the Southside Industrial Park did come from an industrial firm, but did not list the name. Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association Executive Director Tom Lochner says things are shaping up to it to be a pretty good year.
It looks like it could be a pretty good season for our growers here. As I've gotten around the countryside the last couple weeks and in conversation with growers, They're pretty optimistic about the crop that we have out there.
Had been concerns about damage from the hail and some flooding earlier this summer, but Lochner says the primary growing area in central Wisconsin, not affected. Kenosha police investigating the break-in of almost a dozen vehicles this week on a cul-de-sac near the Strawberry Creek subdivision. Calls coming from area residents, first from the 7300 block of 155th Court, an iPhone taken out of a van. Other quick grab items were taken, including laptops. Police reports note that all 11 vehicles were unlocked at the time they were entered. It was a week ago today that a federal judge ruled many parts of Wisconsin's voter ID law failed to comply with the constitutional requirement that elections be fair and equally open to all qualified voters. Jay Heck, executive director of the citizen group Common Cause Wisconsin, maintaining that was a huge victory. Even though the judge's decision is being appealed by the state and there won't be an impact this coming Tuesday, the November general election, that's another story. So Heck is advising voters get the appropriate ID regardless.
This law could be changed again. The legislature could come back next year and change it again. So rather than rely on, you know, on the hope that this is absolutely going to prevail, I think voters should play it smart and assume that they're going to have to show some ID and try to go out and get that.
The judge in the latest ruling said he would have struck down the entire photo ID law, but he was bound by a Supreme Court decision, also referring to Wisconsin's version as, quote, a cure worse than the disease, unquote. City of Kenosha residents with a chance tomorrow to get rid of the evidence, so to speak. A free shredding event at three locations between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Up to five bags or boxes of paper will be allowed at the shredding sites at Northside Library, the Southside Library, and the terminal building at Kenosha Regional Airport. This was the brainchild last year of former Police Chief John Morrissey and will be the second event this year. Back in May, more than 6,000 pounds of paper documents were shredded. A third shredding event will take place in October. 37th Annual Crop Walk for Hunger in Racine County to take place the afternoon of Sunday, October the 23rd, beginning just before 1 p.m. from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in downtown Racine at 614 Main Street. Crop Walk is sponsored by Church World Services. 25% of the funds raised locally go to help the Racine County Food Bank. More information is available from the Volunteer Center of Racine County, 262-886-9612. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.